Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Hopefully everybody had a nice weekend. Hopefully you got that winter coat out this morning because it's freezing.
Brick!
Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Yeah, it was brick out there this morning, man. So yeah, hopefully I was riding and saw the people that like work outside, ski mask, everything, man. Yeah. So yeah, y'all stay safe and stay out there. Stay warm out there. But I mean, it's not going to last that much longer.
Now, a couple days.
Today and tomorrow.
We'll be back to normal.
Back to normal and everything like that. We are kind of back to normal on a usual Monday after a Falcon game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, we're used to this.
Yeah, we're used to this.
This is kind of what it's become. You know, they lose again. Obviously, you all know that by now. That's four in a row. They've lost four in a row, two consecutive seasons. The record is now 3-6. And obviously, the details of yesterday's loss were different than the previous three. I think probably the best they played in any of the four of them. Not that anyone cares. They had less points than the Colts did at the end of the game.
Yep.
And there's a lot of details as to why it went that way. But, yeah, man, this is this is not where they were supposed to be 9 games into the season, and now Steph starts to get real uncomfortable.
Yeah, man. I mean, it already is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's I thought they played well enough to win that game yesterday.
Because they did.
Just like I thought the previous
just
week.
Just like the week before.
Yeah, man. And so it just, you know, just those little things like, you know, the third down. I mean, that's the glaring thing for this team right now. Not able to stay on the field, sustain drives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just unfortunate because of where this is going, because you have a quarterback who's playing like a young quarterback. We completely said now they got to help him out. Kyle's got to make that play. That's a touchdown.
Kyle's got to make a touchdown.
But then he got to throw it out there for Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just those.
There's the one Kyle dropped, and then there's the one that he underthrew.
I mean, that's maybe
two touchdowns.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? So you got that push and pull and things like that. I thought the defense when they weren't running the ball against him, was flying around.
The defense was excellent against the pass.
They were flying around, you know, and the pass rush. And obviously the two rooks made another big-time play together. But, yeah, I mean, it happened in the Tampa game where the runner gets lost, mm-hmm. and then he bounced out the backside. There's nobody there. Yep. And we talked about this on Friday. Like, Jonathan Taylor has home run. He's a track guy.
Yeah.
And so when he was out there, you were not catching him. But, I mean, they just didn't do a good job of corralling him when they needed to. I thought Daniel Jones looked like Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They made him uncomfortable. Yeah. He fumbles, man.
Yeah, we said he put the ball on it.
That was such an issue with him in New York. I mean, he was averaging like a fumble a game.
Yes, remember that.
When he must have fumbled three times. Jonathan Taylor fumbled.
Yeah.
And they were getting big bounces and falling on him, but the Falcons were able to recover a couple of them as well.
But we mentioned that on Friday. Like, they'll put the ball on the ground.
And they did.
And you just couldn't, you know, and it was unfortunately, they were both by the damn sideline. Mm-hmm. You get the early fumble. But you got the turnover in downs anyways, that first drive, which is excellent. But, yeah, I mean, them not being able to just corral a guy who's probably the leader in MVP right now in the National Football League, Jonathan Taylor. But, yeah, just, you know, we got what we wanted with Tyler. He was getting 10-plus carries. And that was going to, you know, once he's up there, they're doing something. I thought that they – even though they went away from the run, they still kind of stuck with the run.
Well, yeah, and the final know. That final drive that could have been the game-winning drive had they handled their business afterward, which is kind of where I want to start because I know that the 12-for-28 performance from the quarterback is definitely a major talking point this morning, and I understand. Like, obviously, he's got to play better consistently throughout the totality of the game in order for them to not need all those little breaks that don't go their way don't show up quite as much if Penix hits those throws. Yeah. Because there was a 40-minute stretch in that game where the defense held Indianapolis scoreless. Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, like, you can't keep giving this team –
You got to do something here. And the Falcons just seemed – I don't know. They didn't seem content. They weren't doing it on purpose. Credit to Indianapolis and their defense a little bit too. But, like, you had to take advantage of that stretch where the defense – they gave up some points in the first quarter, and then they locked in, and they played very well until midway through the fourth quarter. And Falcons didn't score enough points in that time to give themselves enough of a lead. They did drive the ball down the field with less than 2 minutes and put it in the end zone,
though. Yes.
And then made a really nice play on the 2-point conversion and took a 3-point lead with under 2 minutes to go.
You got
to
hold that lead.
And then just an awful, awful coverage mistake on special teams, which is something we've talked about all year.
These damn coverage
they
teams.
They are not.
These damn coverage
they
teams
do
man.
Not cover well.
These damn coverage teams, man. And it costs you. No, don't say that. It helped them because if you pin them down there, they don't have a short field. Yeah. I mean, they played with a short field so many times. If you don't get some of these penalties that brought things back, they might have 500 yards of damn return yards. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable how bad the coverage units were yesterday. But yeah, I mean,
they had 500 yards on short fields.
Yes.
Imagine if it would have been like decent coverage. They might have had 700 yards on the Falcons defense.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just one of those things where you're like, you got to have all three of these phases work together. And when there one is working against it, the one that, you know, that until something bad happens, you don't talk about it a lot, right. Meaning special teams, then you're going to have issues, man. But yeah, I mean, they went down. It was a great drive that Michael done put together to get down there and take the lead. And then you're in a situation where all you need is one stop. All you need is one stop, and it started as a cluster from when the ball was kicked off.
Yep. You gave him, you spotted him at the 50 off the kickoff. And then the defense played well. You got him into third and 21.
Yep.
You got him into third and 21, and then you gave up 20 yards.
You left him off the hook.
You immediately gave up 20 yards. And then they did it wasn't the same guy, but a sort of a similar idea as New England. They needed one of the most critical plays of the game. Just throw it up to your big ass tight end. That dude can play, man.
Dude, he's an awesome
Tyler
player.
Warren's a real good player.
Awesome player.
And Bowman was covering the play. I mean, it wasn't the same thing as last week where Bertrand wasn't on it. And by the way, Bertrand made a big play at the end of the game too.
He did.
He stepped up and made a nice tackle. But I mean, Bowman was all over him. Warren's just better and made the play, and that was kind of that. And they continued driving down the field, got into field goal range, make the field goal. I don't understand not using your timeout to not run the 10 seconds off. I don't know that it's like the biggest deal in the world, but I still don't get it.
Right.
Like, you had two timeouts, okay, and another untimely grounding call on Michael Penix. Yep. Sucks. That's three now.
Yep. Three in a row.
And they all happen in really
critical points. Yep.
So don't do that.
Yep.
But I don't understand not just burning that timeout. Then you have one timeout left in 11 seconds. Right. You could take a couple shots.
I mean,
what do you have to lose?
Nothing at all.
It's a tie game. You can try to get into field goal range. But yeah, I mean, that little stuff just doesn't happen. At the end of halves, and the same thing happened at the end of the first half. If they had used a timeout.
I didn't get that.
Right. You didn't know he was going to intercept it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you know he's going to intercept the ball?
But again, it's just give yourself the opportunity potentially to sneak three.
Maybe.
They never sneak three.
They don't. They always get snuck for three.
Exactly.
They get snuck for three.
I can.
Yes.
And you're right. It probably wouldn't have worked out, and it might not have mattered. But I can't think of a single instance in the last.
You don't need to leave no clock.
Where it's like, oh, that was crafty. Look at, oh man, they played it perfect there. Except for the one time I can think about it was at the end of the Tampa game last year where they were able to make that throw over the middle, fire drill field goal,
Yes. Everybody
on the field. That was the one time they did it.
Yes.
Other than that, it's always been like, oh man, I don't know, that was sloppy. That God, they might have left some out there. And in games like this, we said the same thing last week, in games like this where the margin is razor thin,
Yep. If
you snuck the three at the end of the first half, maybe it's 28-25 at the end
maybe.
Of the game instead of 25-25.
Exactly.
Maybe you're coming home with
exactly,
a win.
Exactly, man. And it just sucks, man. It does because, you know, your defense, you ask for certain things and your defense, your pass rush. And they did their job. They rushed the pass. They covered as good as they could. Now, they pay those dudes over there, and they got some bigger you got a bigger tight end. Billy Bowman, you said it. I mean, you can't be in better position.
Yep.
You know, but it was a hell of a throw, hell of a catch by Warren. And, you know, they were able to keep the drive alive. But, I mean, the biggest one was just like you had Jonathan Taylor by the ankle so many times. But he's just so great that he didn't fall. You know, AJ, you know, you can't get – I mean – it's easy for me to say that because you can't see where Jonathan Taylor is, and so you're closer to the scrum than maybe you need to be, and then he just bounces out, and you're not catching him. He eliminates angles.
Well, half the team on both sides gave up, too.
Yeah.
The play was over.
Yeah.
They thought half the Colts players were walking back to the huddle.
What the hell? And then he bounces out, and he's out the dough.
Gone.
And that was just a recurring theme, man. And, you know, the way they used him as a receiver, you know, he's just that good of a player. And, you know, the Atlanta, they have a guy on their team. I thought Bijan was fine.
Yeah.
I thought that they could have used him a little bit more in the passing game than they did.
They got to do something.
I hated that damn screen pass. But the thing about it, I said it's the same couple weeks, as great as, and much as I love me some Drake London, he gets people with ass kicked on that play. You know, you got to block him. You got to block him. You got to give Bijan an opportunity to get, when they're giving him the ball like that. That's like when we talk about with Georgia with Zachariah Brand. Just give him the ball and see if what can happen when he gets it. But you got to block for him for that to happen.
It's worth a try.
It's worth
like
it.
That three or four times a game just to see Zachariah Branch. Obviously scored a touchdown on it on Saturday. Georgia with the best win they've had.
Hell yeah.
We'll get to that as the show goes on. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's incredibly frustrating to be back on another Monday after another Falcons game where – a lot of plays were left out there. Three out of the last four games, there are, I don't know, two to three moments in every single one of those games.
And that's like I was on third down.
It's
always on third down. Totally. A miss here, a miscommunication, like the miscommunication with 87. Like, was Michael thinking he was sitting and he was running? Michael threw it like he was sitting. Receiver was running.
All I know about David Sills is him and the quarterback haven't been on the same page on a single route that he's run since he's been up there.
It seems like it.
Like, every route he's run, it's like the quarterback's like, oh, you're supposed to be, you know what I mean? Like, because he was right there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, was he supposed to sit or was he supposed to continue to run?
I don't know.
So, I mean, those are the miscommunications
that
you're talking about.
The fact that he's even out there, though,
why is he out there?
Speaks to the situation. Well, because they don't have anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Because Darnell Mooney had one catch and eight targets.
Yes.
And Ray McLeod's not on the team anymore. And Casey Washington drops the ball. Mm-hmm. And they don't have anybody else to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
I mean, the wide receiver situation is pretty bleak. Like, Drake London, great game.
Yes. How about my boy,
the old
dog with the grab?
Terrible, terrible game.
Nice grab. I like the backup tight end.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Warner.
Yeah, man, nice grab.
Sorry, my bad. Second leading receiver.
Nice catch. Charlie Warner. Nice catch and run.
All right. Phone lines will be open in about half an hour. 404-726-0929. You know the drill. Falcons lose, you call in, we talk about it. Rinse and repeat. God. Someday it's not going to be like this. I know it. But today it is. So we'll talk it out in about half an hour. We'll tell you what's trending coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, tough game. We had our opportunities, and we didn't capitalize on any of them. You know, whether it be special teams, whether it be stopping Jonathan Taylor, or whether it be to get some more of those third downs to be able to go. Didn't work for us. The guys fought. They fought hard. They played hard. They played tough. We got to find a way to win those football games.
Yep. That could have been last week. That could have been. There were a number of weeks. True. And they continue to not find ways to win those football games. I will say that one didn't feel as much like finding a way to lose it as much as the Colts are pretty good and have good players, and they made more plays than the Falcons did down the stretch.
Right.
More so than like the 49ers game or the, I don't know, what's the, yeah, the Patriots game last week. There's just so many losses to choose from, Randy, to compare, because they're 3-6 right now through nine games.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. Like, you know, you don't get to look at these things in a vacuum. When you've lost three in a row coming in and you lose like that, that's four in a row.
Damn.
And they all get sort of lumped together in that way. And it boils down to a couple different things. Like, they're the worst team in the NFL on third down.
Yes.
They don't seem to ever get the stop they need when they need it.
Yes.
And, you know, there's all kinds of little, you know, there's little decisions here and there that pop up. But the quarterback's playing really inconsistent. I mean, he looks like a guy who's making his 11th start.
Yes.
But you're needing him to look better than that more consistently to win these games, and he's not doing it.
Yeah.
And I think you do that, you lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing with him is that he's – like, I thought about pulling in, and you look at it from looking at Drake May, and how he had – we talked about it earlier this year. Like, he had all last year to start most, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's coming into his own. A lot of that has to do with the coordinator, coach, all those different things.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could build off that. Where Michael is right now is an unfortunate situation he's in because of the regime that drafted him. More than likely, if it doesn't get better, might not be here.
Yeah.
And then you have a situation where you bring in a coach – the new GM and all those things. Well, they didn't draft you, mm-hmm. You know. And so, I mean, it's a real tricky situation that he's in right now. But yeah, he's got to be more consistent. He's got to make throws. So they tried to do a little bit more play action with him.
A little bit.
It's a touchdown. Kyle catches it.
Yeah,
touchdown. And if Michael puts it out there,
which one are you talking about?
The first drive, the overall. Like, I mean, just they did a play action. It was a play action boot, not boot, but play action. He turns. Kyle's coming. Michael puts it perfect, and Kyle, and I keep saying, and I'm not saying they don't throw the ball anymore, but you got to make that play.
And that's the route and the type of route we've been begging him to use Pitts on.
Yes.
He's coming free.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sprinting forward. Yeah. He's not coming back to the quarterback. It's not a little dump off.
Yep.
It's Kyle Pitts in the open field with the opportunity to open it up and use his athleticism, and he dropped the ball.
We talked about it, you know, against San Francisco, we're over in damn Doha, and I'm like screaming, throw it to Kyle. He's one-on-one with a linebacker on the outside. Kyle beat the brakes off the linebacker. Michael, you got to throw it. I mean, and that's the thing about just being more consistent in everything that he does as a player. I thought, you know, a couple of times the first strip sack, whatever it was, you gotta feel that. You gotta feel that guy coming because Tyler, his assignment went inside, but you gotta feel it. You gotta speed up your clock on that play right there. But I think just overall as a team, you know, this third down is glaring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where, dude, I've been on teams where you had just coming off of an 0-4 on third down. And when you want to talk about focus of what the main focus of the week should be, it's got to be that. You know, we do third downs usually on Thursday. No, they need third down today. They need to do it tomorrow. They got to figure something out on third down. Most of it happens when you – most of the time it's better if you're better on first and second down on those third downs. But they got to get this thing going, Bunk, because, I mean, you had 40 to 26 the time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
They ran, like last week, ran 14 more plays than you did, and you had one more drive, you know? And so they have got, I mean, until they get this fixed, Andy, because, I mean, the defense did all they could. Again, they let Jonathan Taylor out the back of the – they let him out the back door. And we saw that happen in other games this week, too, on long touchdown runs where you got to play to the whistle because the whistle wasn't blowing. You know what I mean? You got to play to the whistle. You got to be able to not get beat like that because especially when we're talking, we're sitting here in the damn Kia Studios and talking about this man got home run breakaway speed.
Right. And that's the – and look, they know all the stuff we say on Fridays. But, like, for all of the keys that we talk about on Friday at 120, and then again yesterday morning, me and Joe, same thing, our keys to the game, for all of them to go the wrong way.
Yep.
Like you
three for three in the red zone.
Yeah. They did some of the stuff,
yeah.
But like you, okay. If you lose the battle of the running backs, you're probably not going to win the game.
Right.
Jonathan Taylor dominated that one.
He had three
times as many rushing yards and three touchdowns. You got to be better on third down. They're 0-8 on third down.
Yes.
Like
what were they last week? 1-10.
1-something.
Oh, okay.
They're like 3 for their last 30 or something. Like over the last month, they are converting 20% of their third downs.
Goodness gracious.
Which is by far the worst in the NFL.
Yes.
Like it's just. Not even.
And that's on everybody. That's on the play caller. That's on the quarterback. That's on the receivers. They're not getting the separation that they need. I mean, we talked about Moody. Like, they need this dude, man. They need this guy. They need him,
yeah.
You know. And I know they took a shot. Luckily for them, there was a pass interference and everything like that.
Yeah, Moody did draw a couple penalties at least.
Because
otherwise.
But, yeah, you need this guy, man. You need this guy. Because the thing with Drake is getting, you know, you saw he had to go in the tent. You know, he's getting used a lot. Might as well. He's your number one guy.
Well, so he made that great touchdown catch, and he's, like something's like hurt.
Like he,
and then Mooney punches him in the face.
Yeah, it like he played on the ball.
What are you doing, Darnell? Yeah.
But that'd be the thing when cats get concussions.
The guy's shaking it off.
I'm like, okay, that's the worst. When your bell's rung, everybody's like smacking your helmet. You in the damn head. Oh, there's that word.
Dude, man. Stop.
Okay, I got it. Yes, we scored. Woo!
I'm trying to regain consciousness here. Leave me alone. Darnell Mooney, one catch on eight targets is insane. Now, it's not all his fun. A couple of them were. And one specifically. But it's a lot of overthrows, some miscommunication. He did draw a couple penalties, which is helpful, move the ball down the field.
Dropped one, too.
Dropped one obvious one. Yeah. I think there was one other one that he probably should have caught, too. But, you have one catch from a non-Drake London wide receiver.
Yeah.
Pitts had two. Charlie Warner had one.
Way to go, Charlie.
Bijan had two. David Sills ran the wrong route or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Miscommunication with him and the quarterback, which seems to be standard when he's targeted. And then Mooney had the one catch. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy how bad the production is from the non-Drake London wide receivers.
Yeah, man. But they got to get something worked out, man. Because it is hindering your season, and your season is hindering on third down.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It just is. It just is, man. Because you could be so much productive. You could have won at least two of these four games if you were better on third down. Probably hell, the last two games.
Yeah,
against better teams. If you were just 50% on third down, mm-hmm. you have an opportunity. Hell, if you're I'd say 50.
You were 0%.
You were zero.
So if you were just like 2 of 8. Instead of 0 for 8.
You probably win the game.
Probably.
You probably win the damn game. Just like last week. If you had 3 first downs last week, you probably win the damn game. Mm-hmm. And that's the frustrating part sitting there watching it, man, because you see the potential that might have, especially with this young defense, man. You kind of see it. Now, Jesse, this is the best Jesse played all year.
Yeah, Jesse's 2 games in a row. Yeah,
this is the best he's played all damn year long, man. And so you're like,
I have to feel like something was wrong with him.
What the hell with the taunting for? I was like,
did he even taunt?
I don't know.
It didn't look like he did anything.
He didn't do anything.
It looked like he got up and shrugged at the sideline.
Yeah, man. I mean, whatever.
Whatever.
But then, you know, but yet you fight and you battle. The kicker was fine.
Fine.
You know, look, no words, no nothing. Yep. But you're sitting there and you're gritting and you're grinding and you fight your ass all the way down there and you get the touchdown to go ahead. And then the next freaking kickoff.
50-yard line.
The next freaking kickoff.
You spot him half the field. And then even still.
And then still, you had it third and 21.
On second down, you sack the guy and he loses 11 yards and it's third and 21. And then he gets out and rushes for 20 yards on third down.
Man.
They throw it to Tyler Warren. Bing, bang, boom. Field goal. I don't really know what happened on that final Falcons drive. Just awful. Every time they're in a situation like
just
that,
great,
that
happens. Great job by Lou bringing that pressure right down there on third down. Michael, just you got to get rid of the ball, son.
Got to get rid of the ball.
And
get out of the pocket.
Yes, I mean that helps.
Or get rid of it towards one of your teammates.
That would help.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. So you find a way to lose another damn game. They found another way to lose a game. Who did they play this weekend?
The Carolina Panthers.
Who tricked off the most tricky of tricks.
They did.
God, oh my. There's no way you were going to tell me that was going to happen.
Nope. Tyler Shepard goes for 300.
Everybody in the South lost except for New Orleans?
Yeah.
Look at Bo.
Is that a Tyler I see?
No. I might say no. You ain't all the way there.
Is that a Tyler Shuck jersey? That's insane. That must have cost $200. All right. The phone lines are open, Falcons fans. 404-726-0929. It was different than the other ones, for sure. Similarly frustrating in the same result. I mean, 4 weeks in a row now, same thing on Monday. Or I guess one time it's always been Monday. Anyway, call us up. We'll talk through it next. Sports Radio 92.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the game. First hour, of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on a Monday morning, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll get back into some of what went down on Saturday throughout the show.
Ooh, boy.
That was a
Heisman moment.
Hell of a, yeah, man. What
championship moments.
Yeah, just, I mean.
Dude.
Good teams find ways to win.
Yeah, they do. You know? And you know, it takes me a while to come around on certain teams. I'm all in on Indiana.
Yeah, that quarterback Indiana, of theirs, man.
Indiana and freaking Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Because that damn defense and that damn number 10. I thought C.J. Allen was the best linebacker in America, and I still do. But that damn boy at damn Texas Tech number 10, He's a bad somebody.
You can't do anything on their defense.
He's a bad dude. Yeah, you're a bad dude, man. And they got some damn. If you want to talk about doing that whole this whole new, and you asked, I think it's last week, a week before, you asked about the new, like the new era of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody doing it better than them.
No, they've got it exactly right.
Yep,
they've got it exactly right.
They got the bread.
Yep,
they got the superstar NFL quarterback who's the face of the NFL.
Yeah.
Using his brand also to market.
It's on their jerseys. Yeah, the Patrick Mahomes logo is on their jerseys. And again,
doing it right.
Not everybody has the ingredients.
Right.
But if you do, you got to use them, and they're doing it.
Yep.
And they got the coach that seems to be kind of, because he was a high school coach for so long.
Yes.
He seems to kind of understand the vibe or the culture or whatever the modern kid is like.
Because he's not a young man.
No, he's not. He's not. Joey McGuire's been coaching for a long time. He's hadn't been coaching in college for very long. And then Lubbock is also just such a unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so far away from all
Dallas,
the other cities.
And all that,
And it's such a high school football hotbed.
Yes.
They've kind of created like a supercharged high school football thing there.
And like they got, because I think I was listening to coaching them this morning. Like they have, like there's basically what Rusty does. They got a Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
But they took him and put him on the staff. Like the guy who has all the relationship with the high school kids down in that area and all the coaches. So they don't got to actually go. They went and got him.
Yeah.
And put him on staff.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe Georgia should do that with Rusty.
Oh, they can't afford Rusty.
Oh, okay.
They can't afford Rusty.
We have an insider, Randy?
Yeah, they can't afford Rusty. Yeah. You ain't got that money to afford Rusty.
Georgia, what's Rusty asking for? All right. The phone lines are full, as always, on Mondays. We appreciate it. Falcons come up short again yesterday in Germany. Send it to overtime. There was a lot of good, not enough good, obviously, and they come up on the losing end. Jonathan Taylor with just a dynamic performance, 250, three touchdowns. He's probably the front runner right now for MVP in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, man, just not enough. Again, not enough. Two or three plays here and there, probably tilted the other way, but that's the NFL, and that's something we say every Monday. And the Falcons, unfortunately, have not made those plays, and here we are at 3-6. So we'll start with James, who's in College Park. Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you for taking the call. I'm going to be real quick. First, if we finish, let's say, 8-9 or 9-8 and don't make the playoffs, not only is Raheem gone, but is Terry gone with the staff?
Yes.
And for two, is Kyle – are we cool with just letting Kyle Pitts go after this season because he's just not doing what he did the first year? And another thing with Raheem, he don't show no emotion. Did y'all see the Texas game when that quarterback, the other team that lost after they came back, you see him throwing the clipboard, throwing the helmet off right – Raheem just walked in the middle of the field like you finna start whistling. Thank y'all for taking the call. I appreciate it.
All right,
thank you, James.
You deal with that one. You handle the second part of it.
Well, I mean, Raheem is Raheem.
Yes.
So he shows emotion when good things happen.
Yeah.
But he keeps it pretty cool when bad things happen, which is why he looks emotionless, because mostly only bad things have been happening.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what I like.
But he gets pretty fired up. But you know,
they were spiking. Yeah, because they won. They were excited to win a game. So, yeah, I'm throwing it. There was nothing better yesterday than the damn Miami Dolphins freaking locker room yesterday. It was freaking awesome. It was freaking awesome.
What a weird league the NFL is.
What a weird league. They thrashed the Bills.
They beat the absolute.
They thrashed the damn Bills.
And so now the Bills have been pretty well taken care of by the Falcons and the Dolphins.
Yes.
Right? Like, and they're a team that's a Super Bowl hopeful. I don't know if they, you know, the more they have performances like that, I don't really believe that they are. I mean, as for like the end of the year house cleaning, I honestly don't know. Like, I think there's a recipe where they just say, "Hey, this is coaching."
Yep.
Like the talent appears to be there.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that's what they're going to say, but like there's signs that they've gotten a lot of things right on defense.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, the offense is not quite the same thing right now. You can't say the same thing optimism-wise. There's a couple guys, but I don't think the whole unit is something that anyone's all that enthusiastic about right now. But I could see Terry Fontenot surviving.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. And, I mean, I don't – me and you both don't come in here and call it for nobody.
Yeah.
I just don't want –
they all could survive if they win.
You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest thing is, like, when the writing's on the wall, when you kind of already knew what your fate might be if it didn't get better,
yeah,
you kind of know that already.
Yeah. I also – we talked about this before the season started, just sort of, like, in the context of what you thought their final record might be,
mm-hmm,
and what the – kind of the general consensus nationally on what their final record might be. Pretty much everybody had them right around 9-8, 10-7, mm-hmm, 8-9, whatever, like, mm-hmm, right in that window. 10-7 may be a playoff team, but the other two probably aren't going to be playoff teams. So if it was playoffs or everyone's fired, but that's what the thought was on what their season might look like,
right.
I didn't fully buy in that if they didn't make the playoffs, everyone's going to get fired. I thought maybe there was a path to 9-8 or 8-9 that looked positive enough that you might keep it together. But this isn't that.
No.
This is a totally different thing. You're 3-9 and you're awful on third down and situationally and all that. Like, this isn't the path towards people saving their jobs if you don't make the playoffs. D is on the south side. Hey, D.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, another Falcons Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Another loss.
Yeah, we've been here.
I kind of got like a little theory, and it's across all sports. I call it little man syndrome or little meat syndrome, right? The Falcons, like you said, when you started off the segment, are constantly coming up short. I don't know if they need a hit of that blue chew. I don't know if you're going to hook them up, Andy. I don't know.
I said I would, but they never called.
When we look at Jonathan Taylor finishing, we look at Tyler Warren finishing. I don't see no finishers, man. I'm going to let y'all take it there. Have a good one.
Thank you, D.
I don't understand what he said, finishers. Like, I mean, Bijan is great.
Mm-hmm.
Bijan's an elite player to the position. Drake London is becoming an elite player to his position. So they got guys that finish. You got, I hate that word, they got dogs. You know, it's just this damn organization. You know, it's just this damn organization, man.
We always get back to that at some point during the season.
This damn organization.
Because, like, first couple weeks in, it's the kicker, and then it's the play caller, and then it's the president, and then it's – like, it always comes back to – it's just the – you put the uniform on and something happens.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's just this damn organization, man. Because
these are different people.
Yeah.
Different players.
Yeah.
Different coaching staff than in previous regimes. I don't know. What does that mean?
They were 6-3 last year, right?
Yes.
After 9. Okay. And then they're 3-6.
And then they went, whatever, 2-7 to finish.
Right.
Yeah. Now they're 3-6. So I don't know. I guess they could go 7-2 and get back to the exact same.
You just gotta get one, man.
But that's the thing, though.
You gotta get one.
This is actually, like, this is unique, what's happening right now, just in terms of, because for the most part, in you and me doing this show talking about these guys, they're pretty much right around 500 until December.
Yeah, but they
don't do it.
Right.
They don't, like D said, they don't finish. They don't finish the season. But this is, you know, outside of that 0-5 start where they fired Dan Quinn, this is about as far below, I feel like, as they've been in the middle of the season. Now, they finished 7-10 3 years in a row underneath Arthur Smith. And last year, what was it, 8-9 at the end of the year. But, like, this through 9 games, 3-6 is about as bad as it's been since we've been doing this. I think even in the 0-5 start, they got back to 3-6.
Right.
Or maybe, but close to that.
They were close.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they just – you know, it's this damn team, man. I don't know why. Because you try to pinpoint or something like that. I mean, they're losing because they can't convert third downs on offense, basically. But still, it's damn team.
And they can't convert third downs on offense because they're not good on first and second down, and it ends up being 3rd and 9 every single time. Although, not all of them were 3rd and 9 yesterday.
No, they were not.
They were not all 3rd and 1 yesterday. They just got stuffed on a number of them, or a drop pass or something like that. Just like bad execution on third down. And maybe it's in their heads now, too. Like, they know they're bad on third down. Yeah, they probably spend a lot of time on it throughout the week. All right, it's third down. We got to convert.
You got to spend more time on it.
Whatever they need to do, they got to get that fixed, because that's probably the most glaring problem that they have right now.
Right.
They're finally doing the thing that for years we begged them to do.
Yep.
They got 30 sacks
yep.
through 9 games.
Yep.
And we we don't get to appreciate it at all. They had 7 sacks yesterday. Mm-hmm. Who cares? They had 6 sacks the week before that. Who cares?
Yep.
They lost both of those games.
Both of the damn games.
God, dog it. All right.
Both of the damn games.
Norris is in Monroe. Hey, Norris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
So, I am, you know, along with everyone else, I'm in the dumps today. But, sure. You know, we'll get over it. We'll move past it. So, mine is kind of a question. And then I wanted to point out something that I noticed about the defense that was actually – very pleasing to me yesterday, and I wanted to see if y'all noticed it as well. The most frustrating thing for me, and I wanted to see if y'all were on the same page with me, is when I watch the huddle form, I watch Michael Penix stand outside of the huddle until there's 12 seconds left on the play clock, almost is what it seems like. And it seems like he's fighting to get it in. Is that a Michael Penix thing where he's struggling to understand what's being called to him? Or is that a Zach Robinson thing not getting the play call to him in a timely manner? And then the defensive thing that I was speaking of is, I don't know if y'all saw it yesterday, but right after Daniel Jones got his lip bloodied, mm-hmm. and they were zoomed in trying to show off how bloodied up his lip was and everything, you could read his lips, and he said, I don't know what this play is. Hmm. And then the very next play, we sacked him. That right there, if we could figure out how to do that with our offense and flip that switch, man, we'd have a lights-out team. And it's so hard because it's like you see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it also keeps getting further away.
Thank you, Norris. Well put.
I don't know. I saw an interaction with Zach and Michael, and we'll probably hear more about it this week. It did look like he was saying, I can't. It's not coming in.
There's been multiple times throughout the year. It happened again yesterday. Where he's walking to the sideline, demonstrative.
I can't hear.
You guys got to get the play in.
Yeah, yeah. And so I saw that yesterday. And for the most part, I mean – Most of the time when the quarterback is standing outside, he's waiting on the play. He's like, can I get the play?
So he could get in there and tell him.
Yeah, can we get the play? That is mostly all the time when the quarterback is standing outside the huddle, he's waiting for the play. And you saw a couple times yesterday him going over to Zach and going to the sideline like, hey, man, let's get the damn play. Let's go. Come on. Or either that or the communication thing is not working or it's going in and out. Those things happen. But, yeah, I did see him going over there like, hey. And I did. I was like, damn, they done blooded up. They got Daniel Jones leaking.
Yeah, man.
They were knocking the crap out of
him. They hit Daniel Jones.
They were knocking the crap out of him.
Relentlessly in that game.
They were knocking the blank out of him.
Yeah, man. No, I mean, that was it's been a number of games this year where that front seven, specifically the pass rushers and the guys in the middle, just look really good. Like, that's a good unit. Dorless has taken a huge step.
Yes, he has.
When Jalen Walker plays,
yes. That's
the – I know we had sort of identified it as Divine Diablo, but Walker missed those first couple games that he was out too. Jalen Walker makes a huge difference.
Yes, dude.
He is – that guy is awesome.
He's a great – he's a good young player, man. He had a couple mishaps yesterday, didn't keep contained on one play that got outside of him. But other than that, the first play of the game, like his ability to set the edge, but also know how to read blocks and get around it was outstanding yesterday.
All right, Glenn is also in Monroe. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I got a question. Do the Falcons have a quarterbacks coach?
Yes.
And if so, where is he?
Yes.
When the cameras show Penix on the bench, he's always alone. Why is nobody talking to him? You know, looking at video, looking at photos. Talking to other receivers, talking to coaches. You see these other quarterbacks. Somebody's always over there that's planning, scheming.
Right.
Even when I was a little kid growing up, we'd huddle up. I go, hey, man, I can beat this guy deep.
Right.
But nobody's communicating.
Well, I think the biggest thing right there is always that those situations and when fans, like Glenn, what he just called it, you don't see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been going on. The camera caught him at that time.
They do tend to really enjoy showing Raheem
and
Michael Penix on the sideline when they're doing nothing.
Yes.
I don't know if that's coincidence. What they're always doing.
It just has to be coincidence because the first thing you do, everybody, when you come off the field, you go to the bench, you get your Gatorade, your water, you get the tablet. That's the first thing you do. So it probably has already been done by the time the camera is panned. That's my thought behind it. And I think I'm more likely right about it.
Well, they also, like, the director of the broadcast knows that if the quarterback makes a bad play and then they could show video of him standing there looking confused or whatever, like, that's going to get a reaction from the fan. Like, they know that.
Yes.
The directors of these broadcasts aren't stupid. They know what is going to get people fired up.
Oh, Mike's, but, oh there Mike, he is. Mike's bottom's up. Go.
He's biting his fingernails. Put him on TV. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, these are all things that we notice and hate when they lose.
Yes.
Raheem's been the exact same demeanor on the sideline every single game.
Yes.
Win or lose.
Yes.
Now, they've lost a lot, so you're going to be more mad about
more,
it.
More mad about it.
And understandably, you should be mad.
Yeah.
Your team's losing.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. You know, it took me a while to come around and get their bump because you know how I am with certain things. But yeah, I understand why you're mad. That's why I said, like, people are mad about him. Like his socks, his sweatpants were up high and they were winning when they were 6-3 last year. It was cool. Uh-huh. Now you're losing. Put your damn pants down.
Yep.
I want to see your socks.
It's all pretty simple.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
Everything's awesome when you win. Everything sucks when you lose.
Yeah, but A Sports Talk with the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS at Paramount Plus. Watch all your local games live. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL.
All right, first hour in the books. Great phone calls. We'll get the phone lines open again at 1240 as we always do on Mondays. First hour has been brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course. Atlanta Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, get to a back-to-back NFL no huddle, back into some of what went wrong for the Falcons yesterday, and then the rest of the NFL as well. Just a weird Sunday. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.